Director Darcy?
Here.
Director Dotson?
Present.
Director Gonzalez?
Here.
Director Peterson? Director Reddick?
Here.
Director Sweeney?
Here.
Director Wisner? Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you very much. Good morning, welcome everybody. We have two requests for public comment. Evan Teich or Teach?
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. If you wouldn't mind coming up here and going to the podium, just so you know you are being recorded. If you'll introduce yourself and give the content of your, explain with what you're going to talk about and try to keep this to a relatively short period of time.
I'll be very brief.
Okay, thank you. And then we have Brandy Kellum.
Actually, Mike Bolton is going to be speaking. Oh, but that's part of our presentation.
Oh, okay.
So in an abundance of caution, filled out the comment card.
Thank you very much. Excuse me, I didn't leave this up.
Oh, no, please. Good morning, everyone. I'm Evan Teach. I'm the Village Administrator for the Village of Itasca, and I am standing in this morning for Mayor Prime, who could not be here to say these words. It's going to be very brief. The Village of Itasca has been very actively participating in the development process for many years of I-390, the Elgin O'Hare Expressway, at least since 2007, and well before Phase 1 design report came out. Through that time, the Village has been an active participant and worked closely with all the agencies, and I hope I don't forget any of them, but the Governor's Office, Illinois Finance Committee, Illinois Department of Transportation, DuPage County, our neighbors along the corridor, and especially the Toll Highway Authority. We've enjoyed that relationship with all of them. The Village appreciates the efforts that all the various agencies involved, including all the agencies I just mentioned, have extended to the Village of Itasca. It is a massive project indeed, and certainly very large in and around the corporate boundaries of the Village of Itasca. None of us are familiar with that kind of work and that kind of money and activity being done in such a small space. It's truly wild to behold. The Village of Itasca and our staff would like to express a sincere thank you to the Tollway Board and of many of your people that you have working on this, to the extra efforts and responsiveness that you have given to our staff, our Village Board, and to our community in this process. You probably don't hear that enough.
I was going to say, you know, this was an unusual statement.
And the Village would like...
I don't believe it happens all the time. People just don't make the effort to come.
Itasca is an interesting place. And the Village Board and the staff would like to continue that active participation with the Tollway, its board members, and with your development staff on the development of a fair and equitable plan in establishing the tolls that will impact our residents and our businesses. We would like to continue working with you to resolve any outstanding issues for the impacts that will occur as a result of the tollway system. I think we have that great relationship and that will continue. And that's really our statement. And we know they've asked me to come here a little bit more often to see the board meetings. We have our own, but to see it and how the discussion's going, some of the issues that you guys are addressing, and to kind of get it back to them firsthand. So that's why I came, and I appreciate the moments that I was given, and I know you guys are very busy. I plan to go sit there and...
Well, thank you. We welcome you, and we appreciate your taking the time and express to the board. Please also our thanks for their willingness to encourage you to come. Are there any questions or comments from other board members?
Okay.
Well, thank you very much. And we look forward to hearing both the other good things, and if there are any concerns or problems, I know that our staff is very eager to work with you, as you've experienced.
They've been very good to work with.
Good. Thank you so much. We appreciate your coming. So Director Wisner has joined us. Thank you very much. Good morning.
Good morning.
I just want to comment, I think the meeting today should be very straightforward. We've been through all of the materials in the committees. And as we're moving along in the construction season, don't quite have the same volume of activity that we've had in the past. We do have quite a few things in executive session that we'll go over. So thinking about the timing for the meeting, there will be a slightly longer executive session than we might regularly have. But we'll try to make it quick. So first I'd like to call for the approval of the minutes of the regular meeting and the executive session held on June 26th and the executive session held on May 22nd. Are there any concerns about those minutes? May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Okay, those minutes have been approved. Thank you very much.
It says June 22nd and June 26th in the... There's just a little bit... Which one is correct?
It's May 22nd
and
June 26th.
I just wanted to make sure that for the record we put the right date on.
Thank you.
It's not a huge issue, but I wanted to...
Thank you.
There's a discrepancy.
I think in the paper copies.
Do we know which... You'll know the correct date? Okay.
Okay. And then I would ask that we can get the committee reports. So the Director Peterson is on vacation, and Director Gonzalez was at that meeting. He could report on the Finance Administration Operations Committee meeting.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
The Finance Committee met on July 16, 2014. The committee discussed and approved two finance items to be placed on the board's consent agenda. The committee approved a 90-day extension of the existing collections and litigation contracts with Harris & Harris and also with NCO Financial. The tollway is currently in the process of completing a new procurement for collection contracts, and the extensions are necessary to continue collections activity until the new contracts are in place. The committee also approved a 2-year renewal of a contract with Vantiv to provide merchant card services necessary to process toll violations and other miscellaneous payments. Procurement presented two items which were also approved by the committee. The first was a request to utilize a CMS master contract to purchase reflective sheeting, which is used during the sign fabrication process by our sign shop. And the second was a request to renew the tollway 999 motorist assistant program contract. Engineer presented 10 items which were reviewed and also placed on today's consent agenda. Two were construction contract awards, one for the signage improvements at various locations along the Tri-State Tollway. We will be replacing 13 overhead sign structures and fabricate 200 signs under this contract. The other contract was for improvements on the Tri-State Tollway that includes the installation of a toll collection test site near the TUI Toll Plaza. A presentation on the toll test site was given by Chief Business Systems, Shauna Whitehead. The test site will be the first of its kind in the nation and will allow the tollway to develop and evaluate new tolling technologies to better serve our customers. We had one construction for an extra work order. This item is for the I-90 West contract. It enables expediting concrete paving to meet the scheduled completion date. We had 5 partial releases of retainage. It's minor work items that still remain to be done, but all the contracts are tracking within the established budget and the established diversity goals. We had 2 final releases of retainage for completed contracts. These contracts have been completed and accepted by the tollway. Legal presented 6 items to the committee. Intergovernment agreement with the Pace Suburban Bus. The tollway is authorizing Pace to construct 3 park and ride facilities on the tollway property along I-90 and the Randall Road interchange, the Illinois Route 25 interchange, and the Barrington Road interchange. Pace will initially be granted access rights for 25 years to operate the park and rides and agrees to maintain through protection, and we have protections that are built in for the tollway in the unlikely event that there will ever be a need to essentially reclaim the property. Pace does agree to contribute $1.3 million for the design and constructions of the eastbound and westbound access roads at Barrington Road Interchange, as this extra work that is being done is solely to accommodate the park and ride. Another intergovernment agreement with Pace Suburban Bus and IDOT, the Elgin O'Hare project necessitates the removal and replacements of 2 Pace bus stop shelter pads in the area of Elmhurst Road and Oakland Street. The tollway agrees to include in its project the installation of 2 new bus stops, one on the northbound Elmhurst Road and the other on the westbound Oakland Street. We also had legal to do an amendment to the December 2011 resolution concerning the IGA with the Illinois Treasurer's Office regarding American Express services. The Illinois Treasurer's Office has a longstanding agreement for credit card services with American Express. The tollway through an intergovernmental agreement with the Treasurer allows the financial benefits of the state arrangements to also benefit the tollway. Through the board resolution that we currently have, it extends us till December 31st, 2014. At this time, the tollway wishes to continue its relationship, and with the board's approval today and an additional $12 million in spending, we would have the contract go through December 31st, 2017. Another legal item that's on the agenda is to for a general utility agreement with Wide Open West. This entity has installed communication cables on or near the tollway right of way, which may require future relocation or other modification as a result of the tollway improvements. This agreement is substantially the same format as the tollway's other utility agreements and defines the process and procedures to be followed to identify, design, construct, and make payments, if warranted, for the relocation, removal, or protection of the WAC communication and internet facilities. We also had a acknowledgement and approval of a new bond council pool member. This was due to a municipal finance lawyer transferring from one firm to the other. The attorney is transferring from the Michael Best and Friedrich law firm to the firm of Ponsolini PC. Michael's Best, the former law firm, has approved of the assigning its tollway contract to the new firm, and is now appropriate to add Ponsolini to the bond council pool. The new firm will be used in rotation just as the other nine firms in the pool that have been used on the Move Illinois financing project. And this contract assignment has received the proper procurement department approval, as well as the approval of the Attorney General's office. We also had two workman comp items that were posted on the finance agenda, and we deferred them until this full board meeting today, and we'll discuss those in executive session.
Thank you. As you can tell, it was a full meeting, and it was, as usual, interesting and lots of good questions from the committee members, so thank you. And then the Customer Service and Planning Committee, aka a much longer name once upon a time, had a meeting. And is Director Wisner, are you going to report today?
Yeah. On July 17th, the newly streamlined Customer Service and Planning Committee had its first meeting with myself and Director Reddick as co-chairs. The meeting, the meeting was almost entirely taken up with discussions about how we will be dealing with the opening of the I-294 Route 57 interchange that will take place this fall in terms of dealing with our customers. This will be an interchange, and it will be the first interstate-to-interstate connection on the tollway system. It does not have toll collections physically, a booth or that kind of service there. It's all electronic. It will be all electronic. And so with that, there are a few things we want to make sure we do to extend ourselves and provide the best possible information, customer service, and ease of use as this opens. And so there's three really elements that staff talked about implementing, and I'll name those and then give a little detail in short order. But the first was a temporary extension of our typical seven days to pay policy temporarily at this location. Secondly, we're establishing a temporary customer service location for iPass purchases, etc. And third, we're going to be doing very extensive community outreach to make sure that the public is aware and well educated as to what's going on. Relative to the seven days to pay policy, we will be extending that from 7 days to 30 days for this particular plaza, and that will extend from the time that the plaza opens until December 31st, 2014, so that people, individuals who are not able to pay or don't have iPasses or easy passes, will then have 30 days rather than 7 in order to make good on their tolls. And there'll be a lot of publicity surrounding that as well, so people will be aware of that. Secondly, relative to the customer service location that we intend to locate there temporarily, that will be based in the Secretary of State's office in Midlothian, and that will operate from September 2nd, no doubt preceding the opening, through November 26th, and it'll provide an additional location for local drivers to obtain transponders or to set up a new iPass account. The third effort, as I mentioned, has to do with community outreach, which will be extensive. We've scheduled, in fact, three so-called road shows starring Kevin Donahue from our staff in Midlothian, in Markham, and in Posen in order to educate the communities about the iPass program and the new interchange. And there'll also be involvement with local summer and fall events as well, so that we get enough exposure to reach as many people as possible to make them aware of what's going on. There will be, additionally, we talked a little bit about new signage to alert customers to the new interchange. Customers traveling south on I-294 will see signage beginning 3 miles from the interchange with signage every half mile. In addition, there'll be signage for customers exiting to I-57 South. We talked a little bit about the language used on our signs and anticipate a slight change there that I think will be positive. In fact, positive, I guess, is the best way to describe it. The old language talked about cash not accepted, and which, you know, is a little bit on the negative side. We're talking about what our customers can't do, and so we thought better phraseology actually would be to suggest to folks that they can pay online, and so that's, I believe, a positive message, which gets right to the point of what people can do, not what they can't do. So that's a change that we'll likely see, although it's going to be run by focus groups, etc., before that is implemented. The other discussion was relative to the use of our URL on the signage, which we think people are far enough along in the world, the high-tech world, or whatever you want to call it, the electronic digital world, not to necessarily need the URL on our signage. In fact, we're concerned that if people try to memorize that, they'll actually be distracted in their driving. So we'll simply talk about the tollway. People will be able to Google Illinois Tollway and get to that information quite easily. So that was the other possible change. We will also be asked staff to look at the possibility of expanding iPass sales with jewel stores further downstate to serve perhaps the Kankakee area for one. So that was pretty much the extent of our discussions and deliberations on July 17th, and that concludes my report.
Thank you. Mr. Ray?
No, that pretty much sounds like the meeting I was at.
hopefully.
Two things that I would point out in the first two items that Director Wisner mentioned, the extension of the 7-day policy to 30 days, we did talk about we evaluated the potential impact financially that may or may not have, because of the fact that we're simply just pushing it out. It was determined that that's going to be a revenue-neutral change, and talk about the positive benefits to, as there's going to be a change in behavior and new activity as this interchange comes about, how we thought that would be a better way to make this progression. The other part is the temporary location that we're going to have from September through November at the Midlothian Secretary of State office, because of using existing employees and relocating them during that time period, and the gracious offer of the Secretary of State's office not to charge us any rent, that is going to be an expense neutral item. So that was part of the discussion that the committee had. Additionally, the only thing that I would say is we also touched on things that the committee wanted to take a look at and the goals moving forward over the 6 months. aside from the information that was in the agenda that was printed and the pre-meeting information that everybody got, we also added to that list revisiting the towing and recovery effort and the conservation and sustainability policy.
Thank you. And as always, as we do this opening, we'll be getting information and data back about how many people, I assume, how many people are getting their transponders at the Secretary of State's office and how much of a lag there is in people actually paying online and all the things that will help this committee then make decisions going forward about how to do this. There was also an article in Eclipse, was it San Francisco? Somebody who had instituted their first all-electronic toll area and what they had learned from it, which I thought was instructive.
Right, and there was some discussion at a recent International Bridge Tunnel and Turnpike Association
one of our favorite
conference, and we are being informed, I think, by some of those lessons learned, and we've learned our own lessons from some of the other all-electronic interchanges on the system. This is on a much larger scale, but we have learned our own, I think, lessons from some of that as well. So all of that is informing our efforts, but I'm sure we will learn more. As soon as 294-57 opens, I have no doubt there'll be a lot more education. So.
Good. Thank you. And thank you for the reports to all of the board members who made them. Finally, just from my perspective, there's sort of two other things that have been going on that in the background that make sure that the board is aware of. And I think in August we will see the external audit. There will be an audit committee meeting, but that has come in, and Director Gonzalez has been extremely diligent in tracking that, and I want to compliment the staff both on the substance of the audit and also the responses to it, so we will look forward to that. And then, as you know from the report last month, or the month before, from the planning and customer service committee, the I-53-120 work continues to go on, and we'll hear back from that. So let's turn to the executive director, if we're ready.
Absolutely, thank you.
Thank you.
I only have one item, and that's to introduce other people who are going to do most of the talking. So, we're pleased. I'm pleased to introduce Amy Lee, who works in our planning unit with Rocco Zuccaro. He actually probably needs no introduction. He's not here today. But Amy is doing a great job working with Rocco. And then we have Michael Bolton, yes, the Michael Bolton, the Deputy Executive Director of Strategic Services at PACE, who's also here to talk a little bit about our plans for transit on the I-90 corridor. We've talked in general terms, but as we get closer to opening day for this new facility, we're excited to start to identify specifically how some of these improvements are going to work and how we think that they'll work, and of course always get your feedback. So as you know, as part of this rebuilding and widening effort, we are building that extra wide inside shoulder. We're partnering with PACE to develop transit stations, park and ride stations along the corridor, direct access ramps to allow potentially either bus rapid transit service on those shoulders or some type of accelerated bus service, shared use lane with traffic, but something that would help transit move more quickly down that corridor too, because we know that there are hundreds of thousands of people making hundreds of thousands of trips every day, and many of them are in cars, and we're happy to have them, but some people want to use transit, and this presents a good alternative. So Amy, I'm going to turn it over to you, and I did my best not to steal the entire presentation.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Good morning. Today we'd like to bring you up to speed on a variety of updates as it relates to the I-90 transit-related efforts. I know the board has been briefed on active traffic management, but what we'd like to emphasize today is how ATM can be used in context to transit application. We'll also discuss the PACE Park and Ride locations and the related IGA that is before you today for consideration. We'll also bring you up to speed on other collaborative efforts that are underway that were largely catalyzed by the tollway's initial investment in the Jay and Adams. And then we'll hand things over to Mike Bolton to provide an overview of PACE's expanded service plan. So as many of you know, I-90 is a very busy corridor. It draws activity from all parts of the region. Situated along this corridor are many major corporations such as Motorola, and AT&T. There are large business parks and industrial centers, as well as major retail and entertainment venues, as well as, of course, universities and hospitals. Basically, the more colorful these rings are at our interchanges, the more diverse the activity is in these areas. This corridor generates about 13% of the region's total work trips. So between the diversity and sheer volume of traffic that is drawn to this corridor, you can see that it behooves us to provide customers with mobility options. And it's for that reason that the tollway has committed to accommodate transit in this corridor. By adopting active traffic management, high-tech gantries will allow us to manage lane use, and should conditions warrant it, Pace buses will be given the go-ahead to use that inside wide shoulder to bypass congestion in the general purpose lanes. ATM also fosters communication and allows motorists to make informed decisions. In the future, given that we have this technology in place soon, we could conceivably provide motorists not just with real-time travel time information, but also real-time transit information. So imagine if an incident were to occur and the main line gets to be congested, potentially we could provide real-time transit information that allows a motorist to know what transit options are available to them at the next parking ride. So from there, motorists can make decisions about what works best for them. As it relates to the park and rides, today's IGA covers park and rides at three locations: Randall Road, Illinois 25, and Barrington Road, all on tollway right-of-way. As you can see at Randall, the location of the park and ride is identified in the northeast quadrant with relatively easy access from our main line from all directions, which is indicated by the pink lines there. Randall is an important location for bus access. As many of you know, King County is very invested in developing Randall Road as one of its bus rapid transit corridors. At Illinois 25, the park and ride is identified in the southeast quadrant, again with relatively easy access from our main line from all directions. This is a unique configuration in our interchange. Rocco wanted me to let you know this is one of our early versions of what he called a single point urban interchange, a SPUI, so you can use that information at your next cocktail party.
Can you explain what why is that different? We can see it looks different, but what's the benefit?
It looks different.
Or do we need Rocco to do
so that? At a single point, you would be able to access all different combinations of access to the main line from Illinois 25.
So it's about the fact that the entrance, there's one entrance down there on Illinois 25, and then you can make all those different. You can go four different directions.
Correct, exactly.
So if you're ever on Jeopardy, they ask you this question.
The Barrington Road interchange is really our feature transit interchange. You can see that as part of our reconstruction plans, we do plan on reconfiguring the existing interchange, and that really opened up a lot of discussion with us, IDOT, Hoffman, and Pace to really optimize all of the user needs here. And so we work rather closely to make sure that we're making the appropriate accommodations for not just transit, but also bike and pedestrian. And what you see here, unique to these park and rides, is the accommodation of a dedicated bus access or slip-off ramps, indicated there in pink. So a motorist could potentially park at the park and ride located in the northeast quadrant, and make use of the pedestrian access indicated there in the yellow dotted line, giving them access to the inline station. And this cross-section sort of helps you